نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. إن شاء الله we will cover ayah 33 to 39 of Surah Al-Baqarah today. Let's look at the word meanings first. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم آية 33 قال He said يا آدم يا means O آدم آدم عليه السلام excuse me أنبئهم أنبئ inform هم them بأسمائهم Be means with, and asma'i, names, him, theirs. Falamma, fa, so, lamma, when, amba'a, he informed, hum, them, bi asma'ihim, be with, asma'i, names, him, theirs. Qala, he said, alam. A is the prefix here, and it's used to question. So the A here means did, lam, not, akul. I say, the A in the beginning here means I, and kul means to say. Akul, I say, lakum, la, for, kum, all of you. Inni, inni means indeed, I, the ya at the end, gives it the pronoun, that means I. A'lamu, I know. The A in the beginning means I, and the root word here is ilm, which means knowledge. So A'lamu, I know. Ghaiba, unseen. As-samawati, the heavens. Wa, and al-ardi, the earth. Wa, and A'lamu. Alif in the beginning means I. And ilm means to know. So, a'lamu, I know. Ma, what? Tubiduna, you all disclose. Bada'a is the root word here, and that means to show. And tu in the beginning means you, and the ending, una, means that it's plural. So, you all disclose. Wa, and ma, what? Kuntum, kun, were. You, taktumun, you all conceal. Katama is the root word, which means to hide, to conceal something. And here, da in the beginning and una ending means all of you. So, da means you and una ending just makes it plural. So, taktumun, you all hide, or you all know. Wa and is. When, kulna, kul said, na, we, lil malaikati, li means four or two, al, the, malaikati, angels, usjudu, you all prostrate. Sajada is the root word here, which means to prostrate, and this is a command we know because it begins with that empty alif in the beginning with no letter, with no sign on it. And the du in the end is followed by a waw with a sukun and a silent alif. So this shows us that it's plural. So usjudu, you all prostrate. So it's a plural command for everybody, for a lot of people. Li adama. Li, two or four. Adama. Adam alayhi salam. Fa, so. Sajadu. They all prostrated. Again, the same word, sajada, which means prostration, and then the ending, the waw followed by alif, means it's plural. So sajadu, they all prostrated, illa, except for iblisa, iblis, aba, he refused, wastakbara, wa, and istakbara, he assumed greatness. The takabbur is the root word here, which means arrogance. So istakbara, he sought greatness. He acted arrogantly. Wa, and kana, he was min, from, al-kafirin, those who disbelieve. Al in the beginning means those or the, and kufr is the root word here, which means disbelief, and ina ending just makes it plural. So al-kafirin, those who disbelieve. Wa, and kulna, kul, said, na, we. Ya Adamu, ya, o, Adamu, Adam, uskun, dwell, or live. This is the word sakana, which means to stay. Okay, so live, anta, you, wa, and zaujuka, zauju, spouse, or wife, ga, you, yours. Al-jannata, Al-Jannata, the paradise. Wakula, wa, and kula, you all eat. Kul, with this kaf in the beginning, means to eat. And the alif at the end of this verb, at the end of this command, makes it dual. So this is the dual tense used to tell two people to do something. So wakula, and you both eat. Min, from, ha, it, rogadan, abundantly, freely, haisu, wherever, shi'tuma, you both desire, you both will. Again, shi'tuma ends with an alif, so we know this is an order for two people, it's dual. Wala, and do not, taqraba, you both go near. Ba, alif, alif in the end means it's dual. And koraba is the root word, which means to approach, to be close to something. So tekoraba, ta in the beginning means you. So tekoraba, you both go near or approach. Havihi, this. Ashajarata, the tree. Fatakuna, fa, then. Takuna, you both will become. Nun alif, in the end, makes it dual. The alif at the end of this verb. Min, from, al-zalimin, those who do wrong, the unjust. Fa-azallahuma, fa, then, azalla, caused to slip, huma, both of them. Huma is a pronoun that's used for two people. Okay, so hum is plural and huma is for two people. So fa-azallahuma, then he caused them both to slip. Ash-shaytanu, the shaytan, anha, an, from, ha, it, fa-akhrajahuma, fa, so, akhraja, he got out, huma, both of them, mimma, min, from, ma, what, kana, kana, they both were. The alif in the end, again, tells us it's dual. Fi, in, he, it, wa, and qulna. Qul, said, na, we, ihbitu, get down. And we know this is a command because it begins with that alif in the beginning. And there is a waw in the end, followed by an alif. And that makes it plural. So all of you get down. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not talking to two people. He's saying, ihbitu, all of you get down. Ba'adu, some of, kum, you, li, for, ba'adin, some others, aduwan, enemies, wa, and la, for, kum, all of you, fi, in, al-arudi, the earth, mustaqarrun, a place to stay, wa and mada'un, a temporary enjoyment, ila, till, heen, a specific time. Fatalaqqa, fa, then, talaqqa. Alqa means to cast, to put, to inspire, to put something into someone's mind. So talaqqa, he learned, he received. Adamu, Adam alayhi salam, min, from, rabbihi, rabbi, lord or master, he, his, kalimatin, words, fataba, fa, so, taba. He turned in repentance, alay, upon, he, him. Okay, so this is actually, he turned in mercy, because it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing the taba. When this word is used for a person, it means he repented, he turned towards. But when it's used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that he turned in mercy towards that person. He accepted the tawbah. So fataba, he accepted the repentance. He turned in mercy. Alayhi, upon, he, him. Innahu, inna, indeed, certainly. Hu, he. Huwa, only he alone. At-tawwabu, the one who is the biggest acceptor of repentance. Ar-Rahim, the always all-merciful. Qulna, qul, said, na, we, ihbitu, go down. And again, this is a command. It begins with that silent alif, and the waw, sukun in the end, followed by an alif, tells us it's for a bunch of people, because it's plural. So, ihbitu, you all go down, minha, min, from, ha, it, jami'a, all together, fa, then, or so, imma, whenever, ya'tiyannakum, ya'ti, comes, Ya'tiyanna, it definitely comes. So the shadda on the noon here, the little w, it gives it more, it exaggerates. Okay? So ya'tiyanna, it definitely comes. Kum, to all of you. Minni, min means from, and the ya in the end means me. Hudan, a guidance. Faman, fa, then. Man, whoever. Tabi'a, followed. Hudaya, huda, guidance. Ya, mine. Fala, fa, then. La, not. Khawfan, any fear. Alayhim, alay, upon. Him, them. Wa, and. La, not. Hum, they. Yahzanun, they will grieve. Huzan is the root word here, which means grief. And ya in the beginning makes it third person. So it means either he or they. But then we see the una ending at the end. So we know it is they because the una ending makes it plural. So yahzanun, they all grieve. Wa and alladhina, those who kafaru, they disbelieved. Kufr is the root word, and this is a verb, and it ends with a waw sukun followed by alif, so it's plural. They all disbelieved. Wa and kazabu, they belied. Kaziba is the root word here, which means a lie, and kazaba is a verb, and here it's followed by a waw sukun followed by alif, which means that it's plural. So, kazabu, they all belied. Bi ayatina, bi, with ayati, signs, or verses, na, ours. Ulaika, those, ashabu, companions, annar, the hellfire. Hum, they, fiha, fi, in ha it khalidun, ones who dwell eternally. Khalid is the root word here, and that means somebody who lives forever. And una ending just makes it plural. So ones who dwell eternally. Alhamdulillah. Now we will start the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah, the explanation. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have told the angels the names of the things himself. But he said, O Adam, tell them the names of these things. قَالَ يَا آدَمُ أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. He said, tell them the names of these things, O Adam. So the things mentioned here are what we learned about before. Some say that they were names of humans, and others say they were also other things. Anyway, whatever the things were, he had taught Adam alayhi salam their names. When we learned that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the things to Adam alayhi salam, it could also be that he put the thought of them in his mind. What was the first thing Adam alayhi salam said when he was created? When his soul entered his body, through his nose, he sneezed and said, Alhamdulillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taught him this. Ilm, or knowledge, is given to people by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He teaches people things. Ar-Rahman, Allama al-Qur'an, the most gracious, the one who taught the Qur'an. We are all taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make dua for knowledge. When we say, Rabbi zidni ilma, O Allah, increase my knowledge. He told us to read this himself in the Qur'an, that we should ask him for ilm, for knowledge. There's also a masnoon dua. Masnoon means from the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the duas that he read. And this masnoon dua is also for knowledge. And it says, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafiyan, that, O Allah, teach me beneficial ilm. We shouldn't just say that we have a bad memory and we don't remember, so we can't gain knowledge. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Think, how many times a day do I make dua for this? Rabbi zidni ilma. Read it frequently, and Allah will teach you. It's a very short and easy dua. Allah wanted to show the angels why Adam alayhi salam was superior to them, to prove to them that he wouldn't just cause mischief and shed blood on the earth, because this is what they assumed he would do. So Allah wanted to prove to them that he is capable of doing better things. And this ilm, this knowledge, made him worthy of being the successor. Nowadays, people don't care if someone has knowledge or not. All they care about is wealth. And they use the word ilm, or knowledge, only to describe the degrees someone has. Even if they have no understanding, ilm is actually consciousness, mindfulness, and wisdom. We should have a desire to acquire knowledge so that we can increase it. We ask, what will I get from this knowledge? Or how much will I be paid to work in this field that I study? Which one pays more? That is when we are learning just to make a living of it, a living from it. Meaning that ilm has become a way to earn money. What other ilm do we have? We say we are seeking knowledge when we sit there watching videos on social media sometimes, thinking it's increasing our knowledge. That is not ilm. These are not reliable sources of ilm. Someone said to our beloved Ustaza that she watches QTV, so she is getting ilm already. So there's no need to take classes to learn the Quran. That is not getting ilm. The basic ilm and the root of all ilm is the Quran. We learned before how the ilm of the Quran, the knowledge of the Quran, is superior to the ilm of all other things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the angels that Adam alayhi salam deserved to be the Khalifa. He deserved to be the vicegerent being sent to earth. When Adam alayhi salam told them the names of all these things, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, didn't I tell you that I know the ghaib? Ghaib means unseen. That I know the ghaib of the skies and the earth. He says, قَالَ أَلَمْ أَكُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And he did really know all of it. He knew what mankind would do in the future and what sort of a creation humans are. The angels didn't know that. He said, وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. And I know what you disclose and what you conceal. Meaning, I know what you show to people, what you show to be, and what you conceal inside, what you hide. What did the angels disclose? What we learned about in Ayah 30, that this successor would cause mischief on earth and spill blood. That's what they had said about Adam alayhi salam. What did they hide? There's a few things that they hid. The first was when they were saying to each other that the vicegerent can't be more knowledgeable than them. Secondly, Iblis, Shaitan, was among the angels too, and he was hiding arrogance in his heart. The jealousy Iblis felt of Adam alayhi salam was hidden inside of him. And another thing was that assuming greatness was hidden in Iblis's heart. He thought better of himself. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, Iblis said that this creation is worthless. And if he is appointed over me, I will destroy him. This is what he said as soon as Adam alayhi salam was created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala displays what is really in someone's heart, what's hidden, one way or another. This is a scary thing for us. Taktumun, what you conceal. That whatever is going through your mind, in your heart, he knows it. It's not hidden from him. The word kuntum is used here, and it's in the past continuous tense, meaning what you used to hide. Not something you hid once, but it's a continuous tense that you had been hiding. None of the angels even knew about the condescending behavior of Iblis that would become apparent later. He lived among the angels and considered himself righteous, but he had so much mischief hidden inside of him. Allah knew about it. And also, Allah knew how much fasad or corruption he would cause later on. The angels had assumed that Adam alayhi salam would do this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that Iblis, who was hidden in their rows, was full of evil. It wouldn't be Adam who would cause mischief as much as Shaitan would. He knew of the mischief he would spread. Allah knew that Iblis had so much shirr, meaning evil, that he wouldn't stop till the day of judgment. that he won't repent until then, and he never gets tired of spreading evil or leading people astray. He doesn't give up till the end of a person's life. He keeps trying to make them sin till their last breath to say something that would waste all their good deeds. The angels said that humans would spread evil, but Allah knew that the shar of man, the evil of man, is nothing compared to that of shaitans, who was hiding among them. So Allah knew all this that they were hiding. The first honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Adam alayhi salam was ilm. We will also learn about the second honor that was given to him. Okay, we haven't learned yet. We will start now. And that is, and when we told the angels, excuse me, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا, and when we said to the angels, لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ, وَسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ, when we said to the angels to prostrate before Adam alayhi salam, they all prostrated. The fa tells us that they did sajda, they prostrated right away. The fa means then or so. Without thinking or delaying, they all did sajda, all besides Iblis, shaitan. This shows us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had satisfied the angels by answering their questions. When they told him of their confusion, he answered their questions by practically showing them that what they assumed was not correct. He didn't ask why they questioned and didn't tell them that it's all over for them now just because they said something. He proved to them when they became silent after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them to tell them the names of the things. It was proved to them, showing them that they didn't know what the future held and what humans would do. This is something we should try to do as well when someone questions us. We should try to satisfy them, answer them. Sometimes children ask us questions. We shouldn't snub them. We should answer them and try to explain to them instead. If we don't make the effort to do this, they'll search for the answer somewhere else, somewhere that we wouldn't want them to get caught up in. We usually don't know ourselves, so it's hard for us to answer their questions, but we should find out and give them the information they want to know. Our times have passed when we used to just stay quiet and didn't ask our parents questions. Kids nowadays ask so many questions. So we need to answer and be able to answer. We need to understand ourselves first and then answer them. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can explain to the angels, we should be able to do it with our children also. There's nothing wrong with asking questions. Take it in a positive way and answer them. Allah didn't feel like there's no need to answer such silly questions when angels asked him. He didn't let them think whatever they wanted. Because of ilm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels to now do sajda, prostrate before Adam alayhi salam. They all did, except for Iblis. This tells us another thing that some scholars have explained. They said the li at the beginning of Adama means because of Adam. That not only does it mean do sajda or prostrate to Adam, it means because of Adam too. They say that the angels did sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They prostrated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of Adam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made such a creation. Others say that this is the sajda. This was the prostration that was often done in the past to honor someone, to show respect to someone. This wasn't the type of sajda we do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the sajda of ibadah or worship. This is the sajda of ta'zim, which means honor out of respect. We learn that Yaqub alayhi salam's sons, who were Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers, did sajda before him, out of respect, since it was allowed at that time. Later, this sajda became haram. So it was forbidden to do this out of respect before anybody. Scholars say that it is makruh, or disliked, to even bend a little bit and touch, or especially touch anyone's feet, or to bend down a little when saying salam to someone to honor them. It is makruh, meaning it's disliked. We are only supposed to bow our heads down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's the ruku position or any other, because it includes respect and worship, because it was done to honor someone also before, in the past. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the angels honor Adam alayhi salam. And remember, this sajda is not allowed anymore. Sometimes we come across videos of religious people online sitting while the people who visit them bow to them out of respect. And even when they're leaving, they don't turn their backs to them. This is haram. It's forbidden. And people only do this when they have no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba, the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wanted to do sajda before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One Sahabi said to him that people do sajda before their kings. So he asked, Ya Rasul of Allah, they do sajda to their kings, so why can't we do sajda to you? He meant that the Messenger of Allah deserves a lot more respect than any king. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, no, if it was permissible to do sajda to anyone, I would have ordered women to do sajda before their husbands, to prostrate before them. That is, if it was allowed. It's not allowed. So nobody can do sajda before anyone. Sometimes people ask about karate when they have to bow to the other person. We should tell them, especially when our kids are taking the classes, that our child will not do this because it's not allowed in our religion. We know that it's not allowed, so we must tell them. They don't know. In some cultures, they basically go down bowing to their elders, but this isn't permissible. This head is allowed to bow only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, Allah has saved us from having to bow to anyone besides Him by forbidding it. This forehead can only prostrate before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If anyone expects people to do sajda before them, to prostrate, it should be clear to us that they are astray. If Sahaba were not allowed to do it for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then nobody else deserves it. They really loved him and would have been the first to do it if it were allowed. So everyone prostrated besides Iblis. This is when his evil became evident to all. What was hidden inside became apparent. Why did he refuse? He was arrogant. The presentation of the names and all other events happened right in front of him. But he still wasn't convinced. The angels all said, La ilma lana illa ma allamtana. There's no knowledge for us, O Allah, except for what you teach us. Subhanaka, glory be to you. You are Alim, the all-knowing, and Hakim, the all-wise. They understood this very well. They didn't hesitate even for a second to do this. Iblis had not been convinced all along and just hid among the angels because nobody else would know, he thought. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends trials. He tests to check what's inside So Iblis had been worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a long time with the angels. So he was basically at their status. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew what was inside of him. Some people do what shaitan did here as well. You can present them with proofs, give references from the Quran and the Hadith, but they still don't feel assured. When they have arrogance hidden inside and they think highly of themselves, it's not easy to persuade them. It's not that there's something lacking in the haqq, na'udhu billah, in the truth that we present, but the problem is with the person. They think that they'd be embarrassed if they admit. Don't think that everyone will be convinced when we do da'wah, when we call people towards deen. People who have evil character traits never admit. When the order of sajda came as a trial for him, Iblis refused right away. Aba. Aba isn't just refusing normally. It means to refuse at a whole different level, a whole different extreme. He said he would never do it. He immediately rebuffed Allah's order to prostrate before Adam alayhi salam. He wanted to claim greatness. He wasn't great, but he wanted to be. Allahu Akbar. Astaghfirullah. He became of the kafirin. Wastakbara. He assumed greatness. Wakana min al-kafirin. He became of the disbelievers. How can we say this when he believed in Allah? He spoke to Allah and believed in him. But he is still called a kafir because he refused Allah's orders. He did kufr through his actions. So if anyone says, I don't believe in salah or zakah or any other order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are doing the same thing. Any order Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave, if people say that they don't believe in it, they are basically doing kufr through their actions. It's different if we're not able to do it, but to say, I don't believe it, makes someone a kafir. A person goes into kufr when they do this. It's so scary that Iblis lived among the noble angels for so long, and then he became a kafir. Qurtubi says in his book, Iblis had worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 80,000 years. Imagine that. He fell very low from those high ranks. And he was never able to recuperate after this. This is why we should always be fearful and not be content with our current condition, because we don't know what condition we'll be in at the time of our death. Our beloved Ustaza says that she thinks that people who leave this world on Iman are very lucky, because their matter closed on Iman. We don't know about our closure or what condition we'll be in at our end. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. The dependency of actions is on how they end. Imagine if we keep studying the Quran diligently, but when we get close to the end, on the last juz, we stop. Whatever work we started, if we leave it without finishing, we can't really benefit from it. Even with work of dunya, if we don't finish the work, there is no point in doing it. When you are cooking, imagine leaving it in the middle because you remember something else. If the food is half cooked, it can't be eaten. Imagine a child who works hard at school all year, but doesn't go to school the day of the exams, the day of the test, what would happen? So the state of our whole lives depends on what condition we're in at the time of our death. Even if people do good deeds their whole lives, if they're led astray at the end and lose iman, their good deeds go to waste. So with shaitan, even if it weren't 80,000 years that he worshipped Allah for, imagine him worshipping Allah for a very long time, even if it wasn't 80,000 years. That's why he got the high status of living among the angels. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that he wasn't an angel, he was a jinn. He got to that status of the angels through his worship. When ibadah or worship causes arrogance, a person becomes like shaitan. We must be humble while worshiping Allah. If we start thinking highly of ourselves after any sort of ibadah, any worship, and think of others being less than ours, this is arrogance. When we can't tolerate someone else being praised or someone being given a status, we are being unreasonably proud. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had known all along about this arrogance that shaitan carried inside of him. But it became obvious after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam. Now after arrogance came jealousy. When people are conceited, when they think that they're so great, they naturally start to feel jealous of others because they can't accept that someone else can also be good at something. They want to be the best always and cannot accept someone else being acknowledged for anything good. Jealousy caused Iblis to disobey. He was jealous even though Adam alayhi salam wasn't given anything yet besides ilm. If anything, Adam alayhi salam was assigned a responsibility to be the successor, which is not easy. But Iblis was upset that he was being honored. He thought, why not me when I have done so much ibadah, so much worship? This was also the reason the first murder ever took place. In Surah Maidah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that one brother's sacrifice was accepted and the other's was not. So the second one killed the one whose sacrifice was accepted. Jealous that his brother's sacrifice had gotten accepted and his had not. If we look at the story of Yaqub alayhi salam's sons as well, they all became jealous of their brother, Yusuf alayhi salam, due to the love, the special love that Yaqub alayhi salam had for Yusuf alayhi salam. When we think that jealousy comes from wanting wealth or status, that may be correct, but what tests people even more is when someone else is given more importance than them, or someone else is loved more than them. People become jealous of these things more than when someone else has been given wealth. Sometimes even among people with deen who work alongside each other, jealousy arises. People start getting upset when another is chosen for something over them. They think that they do so much work and they get jealous of anyone else whose work gets acknowledged, when they should actually want that acknowledgement only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They shouldn't want people to acknowledge them. People become egoistic and get jealous over the smallest things these days. Due to that jealousy, they can't tolerate someone else getting any sort of importance. This happens at work, among siblings, and other relationships too. This is what ruined Shaitan. And he wants us to be destroyed by this also. It doesn't matter what sort of work they do, for deen or dunya. If there's jealousy that comes in, it destroys people. Arrogance leads people to be resentful of others. There's no point of their ilm, their knowledge, or their position, their worship or fan following. With these feelings inside, all these negative feelings, even the company of angels did not help Shaitan. So we should never let haughtiness enter our hearts due to any worship, any ibadah, any ilm or knowledge, or any action of ours. Always be humble. We won't lose any respect in the eyes of others because of humility. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam swore by this. It doesn't matter if anybody acknowledges our efforts or not. We want that acknowledgement just from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Excuse me. So there's a hadith where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, whoever has the slightest bit of arrogance in their heart will not enter Jannah. Even arrogance that small, just thinking that I'm better than another, can prevent us from going to Jannah. We need to improve this trait. We need to remove this trait from our personalities. If we ever think that I'm better than someone else in any way, we need to remove that thinking. We should work on this so we can humble ourselves. How can we remove arrogance from within? Ustaza tells us ways on how we can remove the takabbur or arrogance from our hearts. When we start recognizing all the blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, the arrogance naturally just goes. Because we learn that nothing we have is ours. It's all given by Him. Each and every blessing that we have has been given by Him. So what did we do to acquire it? Nothing. It's all His doing. Even ilm is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He wants, He can take it away. If we have guidance, it is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we're doing any sort of work, it's from Him. If we start thinking of ourselves as sinful or less important, that they don't have knowledge. Sorry, if we start thinking of others as sinful or less important, judging them, that they don't have knowledge. Remember that it's not our doing that we are given anything. Allah has taught us. Think of all the blessings, such as guidance, intellect, understanding, skill, as blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We become humble then, knowing that we are empty-handed. We had nothing. He gave us everything. We came to this life empty-handed, and we were given everything by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So bow before Him and remember that nothing is ours. So what arrogance should we have? If a needy person borrowed clothes to wear, would they act haughty or overconfident? The more we realize this, the sooner the haughtiness will go. And don't think of others as less important. We can only be humble when we think of everyone as better than us. Not that we are better than anyone. This was Shaitan's problem. He said, "Ana khayrun min," that I'm better than him. When angels saw that Adam alayhi salam had ilm, knowledge, they prostrated before him. We learn from a hadith, angels lower their wings for a person who seeks knowledge. SubhanAllah. Why is that? This is due to the respect and honor they give that person. They can't do sajda anymore, the sajda of respect, but they lower their wings. This is the importance of ilm. This is how much it's respected. وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةَ And we said, O Adam, you and your wife dwell in Jannah. In the ayat ahead, the dual tense is used for both Adam alayhi salam and his wife to address two people. But here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking only to Adam alayhi salam because he says, Uskun, live. He doesn't say, Uskuna, you both live. He says, Uskun, you and your spouse. And we find out that Adam alayhi salam created Hawa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Hawa. Sorry. Na'udhu billah. So we find out that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Hawa. Why? Why was Hawa created? The wife of Adam. So Adam alayhi salam would not be lonely in Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Hawa out of Adam alayhi salam's rib while he was sleeping. When he woke up, he saw a woman sitting there. He asked, Who are you? She said, I'm a woman. I'm your wife. I've been created to live with you and for being a means of satisfaction for you. The angels then asked Adam alayhi salam about her name, and he told them Hawa. The angels asked, Why that name? Adam alayhi salam said, because she was created from a living person. So her name comes from Hayy, meaning living. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam alayhi salam to live with his wife contently in Jannah. The word uskun is used here. Not in the dual tense, that you both live in Jannah, because a man's wife lives where he lives. She moves to his house. He doesn't move to hers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to eat whatever they want from Jannah, as much as they want, without any restrictions. وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْسُ شِئْتُمَا No restrictions in that. That all of Jannah is home to them, not just a part of it. Why is heaven called Jannah? It becomes, the word Jannah is derived from the same root word as the word jinn. Okay? Jannah is something that is hidden. And it is surrounded by trees all around. So it's hidden. Uskun means to stop or to stay while moving, to stop for a little bit. Like when we say there's a sukoon on a word, we stop on that part of the word a little bit. As in the word mustaqar, we stop a little on mus, that is sukoon. And sakana comes from that. And uskun also, meaning seek tranquility here. This doesn't last forever, but only until a person has to move on. But until a person has to move on from there. So they stay there, and they find tranquility there only until then they stay, and then they move on. This shows that Adam alayhi salam was not going to just live here forever. That Adam alayhi salam was created for another place. Allah had created him for another place, for the earth. It wasn't that Adam alayhi salam had made a mistake, so that's why he was sent to this earth as a punishment. That incident got him sent here. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had originally created him for the earth to be a vicegerent here anyway. We say that he made a mistake, so we are all paying for that sin. But that's not true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to give him succession in the earth and then give him Jannah as a reward after that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them to not go near a certain tree. So after telling them to eat freely from Jannah, from wherever they want, he says, وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ, and do not go near that tree. He tells them not to go near one tree. Otherwise, they would be of the wrongdoers. فَتَكُونَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. وَنْكُلَا or تَقْرَبَا is mentioned. It's in the dual tense. Kula means you both eat, and taqraba means you both go near. The instructions were given for both of them, Adam alayhi salam and his wife. This shows that the general instructions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the Quran are for both men and women, besides the specific ones that are just for men or just for women. For example, the order for salah, for prayer, applies to all of us, everyone. A woman can't say that she can't do anything because her husband doesn't agree, because she's going to be questioned on her own deeds. Hawa doesn't say here that she is the wife, so Adam is the one who told her to do it when they disobey. She doesn't blame him for it. Hadhihi shajara is said as they were specifically told which tree, so that they wouldn't say later that they didn't know which one. But there are so many trees in Jannah, so we didn't know. Hada is used for pointing to something that is near. It means that it was made very clear to them which tree. It was shown to them. Note that it doesn't say eat of Jannah, and wala ta'kula, which would have meant to eat. Okay, it doesn't say eat of Jannah. وَلَا تَأْكُلَا, which would have meant to eat from wherever they wilt, and to not eat from that tree. وَلَا تَأْكُلَا, from that tree. هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ. So instead of تَأْكُلَا, which would have meant you both eat, the word used here is لَا تَقْرَبَا, which means do not even go near it, do not approach it. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that it's a weakness humans have, that if we go near something, they would end up doing it. They would be so attracted to it that they would get caught up doing it. This is what happens with sins. Even if we don't plan to sin, if we sit in the company of those who are doing it, we get involved in it eventually. We think that we would join them just for company, but we would stay away from that sin. But that doesn't happen. We can avoid it the first day and maybe the second, but later on, eventually, we get caught up in that sin. So when it comes to sins, first, we develop the acceptance of the sin by going near it. Okay, then we end up doing it. We have been told in the Quran this about zina also. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا, meaning do not even go near zina. Not that don't commit it. It means don't go close to the ways that lead to it. Here it said, don't even go near this tree. The instructions were so clear. We should understand this for all sins. وَلَا تَقْرَبَا, to not even go near them. When people say they won't do it because they're strong, that they won't sin, it's not it's not right, because shaitan overtakes a person in such a way that all their understanding goes and they end up doing it. So what is the need for us to even take the paths that lead to that place when we don't want to get there? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them they would be of the zalimeen if they did this. What is zulm? To do injustice and not give someone their rights. And zulm is also to move something from its proper place to put somewhere else. So what zulm did they do? They went where they shouldn't have gone. Then what happened? فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا. Then Shaitan made them both slip from it. Shaitan made both of them slip because of this tree. فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا. Then he got both of them driven out of Jannah. مِمَّا كَانَا فِي. From where they both were. He got them expelled from where they were. Shaitan attacked in a way that he still does to this day. He incited them in such a way, saying that he was their well-wisher and that they would become immortal if they ate from that tree, that they would live forever. This story will come again 6 more times in the Quran, inshallah. It is mentioned 7 times total. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us right at the beginning here that we shouldn't be proud of our ilm. We covered that already. Whatever ilm we get is from Him. We cannot acquire it on our own. He tells us to remember that the greatest and first honor given to Adam alayhi salam was because of his ilm. Don't forget this ilm. Value it and remember how Shaitan tries to get us. He tries to get in the way of our ilm. Adam alayhi salam had so much knowledge, but Shaitan even led him astray. This makes it clear to us that only Allah can save us from straying. So we read, A'udhu billah. That, O Allah, I seek refuge with you. I need your protection. No matter how much ilm a person has, Shaitan still tempts them. He still whispers to them. Abdul Qadir Jilani said that once Shaitan whispered to him to sin. He understood that it was a trap of Shaitan, so he didn't listen to him. So Shaitan told him that you saved yourself from me because of your ilm. Abdul Qadir Jilani said, no, it's because of Allah's tawfiq that He gave me this ability. Because what was Shaitan doing now? He was trying to make him arrogant due to his ilm. After failing to lead him astray by whispering, he was trying to make him feel all great, that, oh, you're so knowledgeable. Put that thought in his mind. So Shaitan will try to mislead even after people gain knowledge. He will try to mislead them. So it's foolish for people to say, look at what this person is doing after having so much ilm. Remember that ilm makes a person understand things, but that doesn't mean that Shaitan won't come to that person. Shaitan will try his best regardless. We learn from the tafsir that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks Adam alayhi salam later, O Adam, why did you listen to him? Shaitan had Adam alayhi salam said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, I did not know that someone can lie by swearing, by using your name. When they swear and they use your name, I never imagined that someone can do that. Shaitan had done this. He had sworn to Adam alayhi salam that he was his well-wisher and for him to eat from the fruit of that tree. It doesn't matter to us which tree it was. There are many opinions as to which fruit grew on that tree, mostly Israeli legends. The point that must be looked at here is that Shaitan led them both astray. He made them go near the only tree they were told not to eat from, the only tree they were supposed to stay away from, and he made them eat the fruit of it. Their garments of Jannah that they had been wearing came off right away, and they lost their noble position. He got them expelled from there, from that perfect place they were living in. This shows us that even a person, a normal person who sins, sometimes he is deprived of a blessing or Allah's mercy due to that sin. Something Allah had given him or her is taken away from her due to the evil of that sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, get down from here. Some of you are enemies for some others. He says, وَقُلْنَا اهْبِتُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌّ. Adam and Hawa on one side and the shaitan on the other. That you're enemies for each other. That from among, and the second thing this might mean is that from among humans, some will be enemies of some others. That shaitan will cause them to become enemies of each other. We see that the enmity sometimes carries on for generations. So they were told to go down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to send them to the earth anyway, but maybe in a different way. Now why are they being sent down? Due to their mistake, the sin they had committed. And on the earth will be your stay and benefits for you till a fixed time. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاءٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expelled them from Jannah, said for them to go live on the earth. This wasn't with respect that they were going. They would have had to go to the earth anyway, but it would have been honorably. Now they're basically kicked out of Jannah. They are told that the earth would be mustaqar for them, which means a temporary stay, a temporary place to stay. Think of it as when we travel and there are rest areas along the road. We don't put our beds down and go to sleep there or start building homes there. We just stay there for some time and then we move on. That is mustaqar, the place where a traveler sits for a little while they're traveling. Just for rest on the way. This is istiqrar. Allahu Akbar. But we have started to think that it's permanent and we'll be here forever. Even though it's mustaqar. Our stay here is mustaqar. It's a temporary place for us to stay and prove that we deserve Jannah. وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. In it, there are benefits for us. Mata means utility, things of use. But till when? Ilaheen, for a fixed time. This also shows us that this is temporary. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to live here like a traveler. Here, I am like the traveler who sits under a tree to take a break for a short time. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all, and because our lives aren't like travelers, neither are our deeds. We act as if we're going to stay here forever. Our desires, greed, fears, and confidence all prove this. Even though we attend other people's funerals, we think we won't have to die, or that we wouldn't have to go just yet at least, even if we do have to. The way we collect so many things here is as if we'll be here forever. So after this, Adam alayhi salam received some words from his Lord. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. When Adam alayhi salam was sent to this earth, he was so regretful, thinking, what have we done? Why did we do it? They were really embarrassed, but they didn't know how to do tawbah, how to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to seek repentance. They didn't know how to do it at that time. So Allah taught him words to repent with. So the first step of tawbah is when a person starts to feel regret after doing something. It shouldn't be that we make a mistake and never admit it. This is what shaitan did. And he makes us do this also. Shaitan was also made to get down somewhere, but he showed no remorse or any need to repent. He actually dared say that it wasn't his mistake. He dared to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you did this to me. Because of him, because of Adam, you did this to me. He is blaming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Na'udhu billah. Imagine how much patience Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. He is sabur, that shaitan is standing there saying this, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still gave him time. Otherwise, he could have seized him right then and left no trace of shaitan behind, just by saying, kun, be. Allah said for him to go down and do what he wanted. He gave him time. For us, even if a child of ours speaks to us that way, we would not be able to tolerate it. We would say, how dare you tell me that you don't want to do something, and then blame me for your disobedience. We can't put up with this attitude, even though We are a small creation of Allah. And Shaitan is saying this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the universe. He is blaming Allah instead. He didn't repent or admit to his sin. He kept justifying it. And he makes Bani Adam, the children of Adam, do the same also. Then people say, it's not my fault, it's so-and-so's fault. And then we also say, Shaitan is really the one who made me do it. Adam alayhi salam could have said that also. Oh Allah, how is it my fault when you gave Shaitan the freedom to do what he wanted? He led me astray, Allah. It's his fault. Seize him. What did I do wrong? I just listened to him. But Adam alayhi salam did not say this. Aren't these the excuses we present? First of all, we don't admit our faults and try to blame others for them. Then we say, Shaitan made us do it. So what's next after that? What are we supposed to do after admitting our sin and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We must ask for forgiveness. And after asking for forgiveness, how often do we worry if we were even forgiven or not? We shouldn't think it's done now, let's move on. We must try to ask Allah to forgive us and the person whom we wronged to ask for their forgiveness. Adam alayhi salam did not hesitate in repenting, even for a second. He didn't keep thinking whose fault it was for a long time. And in life, when people sometimes are convinced by others to admit their fault, they do it when there's no other way. But then they say, okay, fine, it was my mistake. Now let me go, leave me alone. Is this admitting to our mistakes? Let's learn from our father, Adam alayhi salam, who made a mistake and admitted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned to him in mercy also after this. فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Whose mistake was bigger, Adam alayhi salam's or Shaitan's? Adam alayhi salam's mistake was great. It was bigger. Because for Iblis, when Allah ordered all the angels to do something, he said he wouldn't do it. Right then. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had especially told Adam alayhi salam and Hawa to not go near that tree. And the whole Jannah was available to them. And they were told not to do just one thing. And that is exactly what they did. The one thing they were forbidden to do. They did disobey Allah's orders, but their realization and regret is what Allah liked. He liked that they did tawbah, so he taught them the words, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Oh Allah, we have wronged ourselves, and if you don't forgive us and have mercy on us, we would surely be of the losers. When we sin, we do injustice to our own selves, nobody else, because we will have to suffer the consequences. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave Adam alayhi salam and Hawa because of their regret and their crying, but Adam alayhi salam didn't know how to ask for forgiveness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned towards him in mercy. This tells us that we should never stop from turning to him in repentance, thinking that he may not forgive us because I've spent so much of my life doing this sin. And what if I do it again? Maybe I'll repent for everything when I go for Hajj altogether. We shouldn't have that sort of an attitude. Turn to him right away after making a mistake and show regret and seek forgiveness. And when repenting, be convinced that he will forgive us. Tawwab is the word used here to describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innahu huwa tawwabur rahim. Indeed, he, only he, is the one who is most relenting. That he forgives over and over again. Adam alayhi salam had made a mistake just once. So why was this word used, that he forgives over and over? Because Allah knew that Adam and his offspring would make mistakes again and again. They would forget and sin. So he says that he forgives over and over. After tawbah, Know that He has accepted it. Never doubt that. For those whose tawbah is not accepted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them separately in the Quran. He says, وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. That is, the tawbah won't be accepted for those people who persist in their sins. They don't stop sinning, but they keep saying tawbah. It's important to stop sinning. Adam alayhi salam didn't continue eating the fruit of the tree, saying, I shouldn't have eaten it, saying tawbah, but doing it again. This is what we do nowadays. We ask for tawbah, but we continue to do those sins, not even knowing what we're asking tawbah for. And then saying, it's not like I'm sinful, but there are benefits of tawbah, so I'll just do it. Tawbah is regret and leaving the sin. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tawwab. إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. The huwa emphasizes that only He is the acceptor of tawbah. So don't despair. Admit when you make a mistake and ask for His forgiveness. Why does He accept our tawbah over and over again? Because He is ar-Rahim, the most merciful. This is why He accepts our tawbah repeatedly. A lot of people say that Hawa was the one who convinced Adam alayhi salam to eat the fruit. Especially the Ahl Kitab, the Christians, they say this. This isn't true because the dual tense is used here by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Shaitan incited both of them to do it, for both to eat the tree and for both of them to get down from Jannah. That tense is used, the dual tense, for two people. It's not true that Hawa is the one who ate it, and the fault was all hers, and because of her, Adam alayhi salam was put in this difficult situation. This is incorrect. That's why they all had to get down from Jannah, not just her alone. قُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. We said, go down from it altogether. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells all of them to get out of it. Jamia means all of them. Adam alayhi salam, Hawa, and Shaitan. The next part is mentioned to tell us what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam alayhi salam to do after he was ordered to get down. فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then whenever my guidance will come to you, and it will definitely come to you, فَمَنْ تَبِيَ هُدَايَ, then whoever follows it, فَلَا خَوْفًا عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَهْزَنُونَ. That there will be no fear or grief for those people who follow my guidance. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Adam alayhi salam that you're going now. So He advised him these things, which is very important for us to understand. He tells Adam alayhi salam, whenever guidance comes to you from me, there will be no fear or grief for you if you follow that guidance. This meant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would keep sending messages. He would keep sending means of guidance while Adam alayhi salam would live on earth. It would be in the form of books, messengers, scrolls, something or the other would keep getting sent so humans can be guided. And he says, whoever follows that guidance won't have to fear or grieve. Khawf is the word used for something that's to come in the future. Okay? And grief is sadness from what happened in the past. Sometimes people fear for their safety or other things for the future, for what's still to come. That is khawf. And over the past, people start crying at times when they remember certain things. That is grief. Grief over the past causes depression, and fear of what's to come causes anxiety. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised those who follow His guidance that they won't fear for their future or have to grieve over their past. Does this mean that they'll be free of all things? That they would never have to face difficulties in life? No. Of course, there will be things that cause grief, stress, and fear in dunya. But whoever holds fast to Allah's guidance, which is the Quran for us now, there won't be any fear or grief left for them. How? The Quran will comfort them, become their companion, and give them such beautiful advice that nobody else can give. This is why so many people say that when they hear something in class, it felt like it was especially for them, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered their problem that they were going through. It was an answer to them, that they feel comforted by the ayat after being stressed about something. The Quran does really comfort us. As humans, we do have fears about the future, but we get comfort from the Quran. We do feel grief over the past, and we feel like crying when we remember certain things, but the Quran strengthens our hearts. So, why is it so important to be protected from grief and fear? Because these two things make us useless, unable to do anything. Depression causes people to become useless, and too much anxiety about the future makes a person bedridden. There's a masnoon dua that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam read to seek refuge from huzn, which is grief. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-huzni. Not only are fear and grief bad for our health, they prevent us from doing anything positive. So there are benefits of this guidance for us in this life. Benefits of this guidance. And in the hereafter, there won't be any fear of grief. In this life, we fear what would happen to us in the hereafter. What's in store for us? What if our deeds get wasted due to showing off or something else? But once we get there, there won't be that fear because people would see their results. They will be honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that they won't feel any grief of what they left behind either. They will get the importance there. But who is this for in the hereafter? Whoever follows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance, living according to the Quran's teachings. This is why we see such wealthy people so discontent with their lives. And there's others who live in a hut, but they're content. What did the second group get that the wealthy we talked about didn't? Hidayah, guidance. People sometimes think that having wealth will make them feel like their future will be secure. But can money and material goods actually secure our future? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the prescription of what actually secures our future, and that is His guidance. Why don't people focus on this instead of on earning more wealth, saying they'll have comforts of life when they earn a certain amount? They should look at those who have so much wealth, fame, and luxuries, but they end up committing suicide sometimes because they're not at peace. They take pills to be able to go to sleep. Sleeping pills, and other times, other people think that money would secure their future. Take Allah's word for it and see if we really believe in la rayba fi. There should be no doubt. When He tells us that we won't have any grief or fear, that means we won't. This should be our belief. And when we truly believe this, when we believe this, we would race towards guidance and try to follow it, no matter what people say. We don't need to follow other people's ways. We just need to follow Allah's guidance. What else do we fear? Of what other people would say. Peer pressure, getting left back, that people won't befriend us. We don't need to worry about those things. Just follow Allah's guidance and all fears would be gone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your heart content. The outside appearance won't change, but our insides will change. The last ayah, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا, and those who disbelieve and reject بِآيَاتِنَا, our ayat. Signs will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of miracles or wahi, divine inspiration. Whoever denies them and says he doesn't believe, and then goes a step farther and rejects the ayat, and tells others to reject them too, saying that they're wrong. It's one thing to not be convinced or believe themselves, and even worse, to say it out loud to others. They will be the companions of the fire. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. One option was to believe this as the truth, the guidance, and follow it. The other was to reject it. We learned about the result of both of these options. One group is Ashabun Nar, people of the hellfire, and the other is who? You may be thinking Ashabul Jannah, people of Jannah, companions of Jannah, which is true, because whatever Allah has mentioned the fire, wherever Allah has mentioned the fire in the Quran, He mentions Jannah. Wherever He mentions the bad result, He also mentions the good. Here, there's no mention of Jannah. After Ula'ika Ashabun Nar. So, this is hidden in فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَهْزَنُونَ. There won't be any fear or grief in Jannah. So, it will really come to an end there. This contentment of dunya is like a preview of what's to come in Jannah. So, when Allah says فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَهْزَنُونَ, He is describing Jannah. Okay? Imam Ibn Taymiyyah used to say, my Jannah is inside of me, in my heart, and nobody can take it away from me. So the ones who disbelieve and reject are companions of the fire, whom fiha khalidun, and they will live forever in it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to follow His guidance and save us from arrogance, from jealousy, from disobeying Him, and from all the things that anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May He enable us to truly repent, so He includes us in the tawwabin, those who turn in repentance to Him, and we can always do sincere tawbah. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ameen ya rabbal alamin. Jazakumullahu khairan kaseera. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.